WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Araceli Gomez Aldana, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Today marks 3 years since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So where are we now? Well, 13 states have total bans on abortion, leaving blue states like Illinois as the only option for people to get healthcare services they need. Illinois has seen an influx of patients from all across the country, and it comes with some risks. According to reporting from the Chicago Sun-Times earlier this month, a Northwest Suburban Police Department illegally shared information with a Texas sheriff in an abortion-related case. Illinois is seen as a quote-unquote safe haven for people seeking abortion, so this story really struck a nerve for a lot of people. Mitch Armin-Stroud of the Chicago Sun-Times explains what happened.
This came to light last month. It was a report by an online news outlet called 404 Media, which found that the Johnson County Sheriff's Office in Texas, this is a department that had been searching for a woman whose family was concerned for her safety, they said, because she had just self-administered an abortion. So this Texas Police Department basically searched license plate readers across a nationwide network. There's these readers that are on Chicago highways, highways across the state, highways across the country, basically, more than 83,000 of them. And basically what this Texas sheriff did was search the system, including some in Mount Prospect, which, you know, is not to be unexpected, except that Illinois last year passed a law that out-of-state agencies cannot use license plate readers in the state to investigate people for, seeking abortion healthcare, or two, investigations related to people's legal immigration status.
Okay.
So this really caught the attention of Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias, who, you know, they looked into what was going on in Mount Prospect and how, you know, they gave away this information allegedly illegally. And basically what they found was that in addition to this one case of a Texas woman who, you know, we should say actually never came to Illinois for any care,
okay.
But Mount Prospect had apparently shared information that they shouldn't have in hundreds of cases regarding people's immigration status.
I'm thinking about, I'm sure there's a lot of people whose license plate gets scanned. And so there's this database that just other states can access. How does that work?
Right. So there's different private companies that operate these networks. In this case, it's a company called Flock Safety. They're based in Atlanta. And like I said, this network contains more than 83,000 cameras across the nation. And essentially, police departments, they opt into this system to be able to share information from their own towns and to be able to look at other folks, camera systems in other areas as they investigate cases. When they ask for information from Illinois agencies, there's this state law that says that basically they have to swear that they're not using this license plate data in abortion-related cases or immigration-related cases. So the concern here is that, you know, this happened, Mount Prospect gave this information away. There's some questions as to what they knew and when, and, you know,
okay.
whether they knew they were in compliance with this law or out of compliance in this
case.
And
that's what Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias is looking into, is how are they giving up this information?
Exactly.
And why?
Exactly. Just making sure that, you know, they're verifying that outside agencies are not, you know, conducting these sorts of investigations. And, you know, basically Giannoulias' office is conducting an audit
okay.
of all police departments. And, you know, just based on this one case, it's there's an expectation that a lot of other departments might be violating this law, whether they know it or not.
Okay, because like we mentioned, here in Illinois, people can get access to abortion care. Also, it's a sanctuary state or welcoming state, so that kind of, you know, prevents people from looking into immigration status.
Exactly.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, okay, say more police departments are actually providing that data.
I think even the announcement from Junilius's office, I think it's put a lot of police departments on notice. Maybe they weren't aware of this. You know, state officials are quick to say that, you know, this notice went out to all the police departments last year when this law went into effect. But I think they're going to have to, departments across the board really have to look at the way that they are, you know, giving out this information and whether they're opting into these license plate networks, which again are police say that it's a valuable crime or crime prevention tool or investigation tool, just in terms of finding violent offenders.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's obviously very easy to sort of skirt this other law, and we'll see exactly what Junilius's audit turns out.
I'm also just wondering about surveillance. I mean, this could also, we can talk about, we just, all this data is out there and we kind of don't think about it as we drive on the highway and we drive, you know, to different places.
Right.
So interesting to think
about.
And
the American Civil Liberties Union has basically been talking about that issue for years as these have kind of just really grown out of control. Not, I shouldn't say out of control, but really just become more prevalent across the country. I mean, they're reading thousands of cars' license plates every second. I mean, right now as we speak. So.
Yes. Well, that was Chicago Sun-Times reporter Mitch Armentrout. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm interested to hear how now our next guests that are here with us, Megan Jeffo, Executive Director of the Chicago Abortion Fund, and Dr. Erica Hines, obstetrician gynecologist at UI Health and Planned Parenthood. You all have been hearing this story and what happened in Mountain Prospect. What are your reactions, doctor?
You know, honestly, at this point, nothing surprises me anymore between the stories I hear from people traveling and the burdens and the trauma that they're carrying with them every single day. Really, nothing is unprecedented anymore. So while it breaks my heart and it's terrifying, it doesn't surprise me.
Okay. I was talking to you earlier, and I mean, I was surprised. And so I'm very disheartened to hear that people are going through a lot when they get here to Illinois. What about you, Megan? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think this incident signals that even here in Illinois, where we have passed laws against this very specific behavior, if lawmakers choose not to follow, if people charged with enforcing the law choose not to follow the law, here is where we'll end up. So we can continue to create great conditions in our state, but we need to hold the people who need to enforce these laws accountable for their actions.
What are you hearing from people that are coming? Are they worried about their privacy, their safety?
Yeah, I think people were fearful before this, and they'll be fearful after this. People in this country are criminalized for all kinds of pregnancy outcomes, not just abortion care. So it is really scary to have to pack your bags up and travel for what we believe is life-saving, life-affirming health care. I think our callers are scared for so many reasons, and this is just yet another thing to be frightened of.
Yeah, how do we make sure that they're safe when they come?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I mean, at CAF, we take the safety of the people who call us for support very seriously, and we work alongside them to determine the best route to get here, who in their community or their family can support them, what information they choose to share or might not be comfortable sharing with loved ones or with an employer. But this really underscores what an upheaval in your life having to travel for abortion care is. When we think 1 in 7 people who had abortions in 2024 were forced to travel for that care, it really is mind-boggling what these new laws are forcing people to endure, again, just to access common essential health care.
Yeah, we know that Illinois is one of the states where the most out-of-state abortions are being provided. So this past year, Illinois had 35,000 out-of-state abortions. That's nearly 40% of the state's clinical abortions. Do we know where people are coming from?
All over. At the Chicago Abortion Fund, we heard from 16,000 people last year based in 41 different states. Illinois is no longer a regional access point. It is truly a national access point that is, I think, shouldering the entire country right now. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. Even in states where we have some forms of accessible abortion, and Wisconsin is an example, you know, there was big stuff in the news last year about Judge Susan Crawford's election, which would then make abortion more accessible in Wisconsin. Even with that, we have very few clinics in Wisconsin. We have a 24-hour waiting period that makes the costs much higher. And it just, there are barriers upon barriers, even in legal states. In Illinois, we've worked really hard to remove those barriers so that we can be a resource for that 1 in 4. I mean, it's staggering the amount of people that Illinois is supporting right now.
So I would imagine people from Indiana, people from Wisconsin.
Indiana,
right?
Wisconsin, but Missouri, Texas, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia. When you look at the map, it is again, not to use the mind-boggling word again, but I think 3 years post-ops, that's all what we're really feeling. 41 states, that's a lot of people.
That is. Dr. Hens, when you hear these numbers, 1 in 4 people traveling for abortions, how do you feel, you know, when you hear those large quantities?
I mean, I live it every single day, both in the outpatient setting and in the hospital. You know, we've become a national access point, and we're seeing the direct impact of these unjust state bans every day. I meet people who have traveled or, you know, taken off work, found work for their, or find childcare for their families at home, traveled hundreds of miles just to get basic, essential, sometimes life-saving care. By the time they reach us, they're often later in their pregnancy, sicker, more medically complex, and more emotionally traumatized unnecessarily. The barriers they face, financial, legal, logistical, they're not just policy failures. In my brain, they're human rights violations. Mm-hmm. Each story is unique, but what unites them is this immense burden that they are facing. I trust my patients, not politicians or the state, to decide what's best for them, no matter what point in pregnancy, no matter the reasons. So it's really heartbreaking. And, you know, I want to make a point to say that Roe had already limited access for many, many folks, but Dobbs supercharged this cruel, chaotic system. They turned delays into danger, barriers into suffering, and it's really accelerated a system that was already rooted in racism and misogyny and stigma, where the most vulnerable are already burdened.
When you mentioned that abortions, you know, or when people are seeking abortion services, they're already kind of late into their pregnancy. So does that create more high risk procedures that doctors have to, you know, have to help patients with?
It can. I mean, I see everything from, you know, a person who needs a 6-week routine abortion, who's traveled hundreds of miles for a 3-minute procedure, all the way up to folks who need later abortion care because of many reasons. So we kind of run the gamut, and all of it is horrible and difficult and shouldn't be that way. But we're here to help in every way possible that we can. And we work really closely with CAF every single day. I think we have a chat chain going about our patients, making sure that they're safe and not only that they get the care they need here while they're in Illinois, but get home safely and have a provider to take care of them at home. A troubling trend that I have noticed is that I don't have a safe place to send my patients back to. The providers that take care of them in their states are refusing to care for people post-abortion care. They're refusing to care for them before they travel because of their decision to end their pregnancy. So it's bleeding into not just the abortion care itself, but maternal health, reproductive health in general. And it's a really, really troubling trend. And I've noticed my patients are extremely stigmatized and traumatized just to receive basic health care.
Yeah. And Dr. Hens, you mentioned CAF, which is Chicago Abortion Fund, just to clear it up. Do you see any trends when it comes to people going to the hospital versus going to a clinic?
We really, you know, the majority of abortion care safely takes place in the outpatient setting. And all the providers who work in the outpatient setting are working, you know, immensely. We have been working on overdrive since Dobbs. To really try to get patients care that they can safely care for in the outpatient setting. But we're humans and not everything follows the medical textbooks, and patients are going to need higher levels of care. And so we've worked really hard as a state to try to triage that. And there's a program that Megan can speak to a little bit more, but the CARLA program, Complex Abortional Regional Line for Access, which is a state initiative that works with folks who are not able to get care in an outpatient setting. And through two dedicated nurses that answer the line, we'll connect with CAF and the four hospital systems that can care for patients and really try to decrease the burdens, logistic burdens of having to travel back home and then receiving care in the higher level of care.
And even like you mentioned, even going back home and treatment potential help after that. So Megan, I mean, we were hearing about the strain really on Illinois because of the decisions. So, you know, what are you seeing that is kind of like has made you kind of think, okay, we need to do a lot of more work. We need to kind of help this infrastructure here.
Yeah, I mean, I think I am incredibly proud of the work that Illinois has done to create conditions, not just for our residents, but for people from those 41 states to be able to come here and access care. When I think about the last 3 years, I want to like tear up. I can't look at Dr. Hins. I can't look at her when I say this. But, you know, we have really been in the trenches together as a state, as a community, as an ecosystem, a constellation of care. We have built networks with providers, both in clinic, in hospital settings, our advocates, our public officials. We have all worked really hard together, a lot of it behind the scenes to make sure that all of those people who are coming here can access care. And I am incredibly proud of that. I do think the onus now is on other states to take what Illinois has done, to look at our blueprint and figure out what they can do to replicate it. If you are a leader in a state that has good abortion laws, you need to make them better and you need to talk to Illinois and work with us so that we can tell you how we did this in our state. The proximity and location of Illinois is very important when you look at that map that shows where bans are happening, but the resources we have available in this state are more important. CAF is now the largest independent abortion fund in the country. We have immense support from the city of Chicago, from Cook County, from the state of Illinois. That is the only reason we have been able to continue this work. Grassroots and our major donors and our foundations were incredible, but that support is not finite, and we recognize that. And so we are working with so many different stakeholders to make access to care a reality every single day. CAF has not had to turn away a single caller in 6 years who is relying on our state for care. We were hearing, you know, pre a lot of these bans that came down in 2019 from less than 300 people a year. And now we hear from about that number a week. And that takes a really coordinated effort that is heavily supported by so many people in the state. So I think, yes, there's a strain on Illinois, but we have stepped up to meet this moment as a community. We have expanded the provider pool. We have clinics open 7 days a week in our state. We have this incredible hospital-based program that is beyond the first of its kind. It is truly incredible to think that if you are a person who has traveled here, whether from Madison or Memphis or Miami, and you are told that you cannot receive care at a freestanding clinic due to a health condition you may or may not know about, because if you're coming from a state that's banned abortion, they're likely not investing in other forms of public health is usually the norm, right? Mm-hmm. And we're able to connect you to that hospital-based care you need on the timeline that works for you, paying for your appointment, paying for all of that logistical support. I mean, the idea that 3 years later, we are doing this. I know this is a hard day for so many, myself included, but I am just continually inspired by my colleagues and by this network of support we have in our state.
And you mentioned constellation of care. So what does that look like here in Illinois?
I mean, I think it's really simple. If you call a provider in the state and make an appointment, they're going to ask you what kind of resources you need. They'll typically connect you to Chicago Abortion Fund if you're in need of resources. And we have case managers who provide this gold standard of support in the post-ops moment, truly individualized case management, working alongside of our callers, figuring out, do you need a ride to the airport? Have you flown before? If you haven't flown before, here's a resource for first-time flying that tells you everything you need to know about how to navigate the airport and the flying experience. If you're too scared to fly, can we get you on a train? Can we support you with gas money? Here in Chicago, we provide in-person childcare for people forced to travel with their children, because the vast majority of people who have abortions and the vast majority of people we support are parenting. So we are really, I think, trying to mitigate the real harms that people are experiencing as a result of these bans and restrictions. But back to what Dr. Hinn said, I mean, we're mitigating these circumstances. We are not eliminating them, right? The emotional trauma, I think what you carry when you are forced to go through hoop after hoop to access an abortion that you know is best for your life and your family's life, that's enduring. Before I've had abortions, before I found out about the magic of abortion funds, I carried so much shame and stigma. I thought that the burdens I was experiencing were tied somehow to the morality of the decision to have an abortion. And we get to say to our patients, our callers, this is hard by design. It is hard because a politician wants to control your body. You did not do anything wrong. Here's how we can support you. So I think another big part of our work is not just doing the logistics, paying for the appointment, but it's really affirming to people that they know what's best for their life and their family and to almost apologize. Absolutely. I'm sorry this is so hard.
I find myself apologizing a lot on behalf of the stuff that people have to go through just to get here. I've never met the physicians that turned them away, but I know that they were getting improper care. I know that they were stigmatized. I know that they were made to feel shame for the decision that they made. And I spend more time, I mean, of course, we make sure they're medically safe, but a good majority of the time that I spend with a patient is trying to right that ship and make them feel comfortable and know that we're here to support them no matter what their decision is, and that they should stand up for themselves. They shouldn't go back to that provider. They shouldn't go back to the person that turned them away because of the decision to end their pregnancy. And, you know, this is not just about abortion care. Like Megan said, this is bleeding into a lot of other forms of reproductive health care. So,
yeah. And I know there's a lot going on also. Mm-hmm. So like to keep, you know, to talk to both of you today, I think it is great for people to like kind of learn what's going on 3 years after. Megan Jehefo, and the executive director of Chicago Abortion Fund, and Dr. Erica Hinz, obstetrician and gynecologist at UI Health and Planned Parenthood. Thank you so much for being with us. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin and Gina Montagna. It was edited by Meha Ahmad and mixed by Ari Mejia. With in-depth conversations here on the show, we want to keep you informed and inspired. Subscribe to the podcast to never miss an episode. You can also visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Araceli Gomez-Aldana, in for Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.